Oh, they've done it! Steven Gerrada, an instant hero! Can you believe this? Plenty attacking! No, no! The comeback is complete! A stunning second half from Schalke!
Blau, weiß sein Leben lang. Herzlich willkommen zurück auf Schalke America. I'm your host, Richard Carmen. Joining me as always, co-host Jack Mangan. Jack, how we doing?
Okay, not a victory Monday and also on a Wednesday again. This is a classic Schalke America move, but doing all right. Interesting couple of results against, I think what you say are obviously good opposition this season, so I'm looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to El Waflo. See you in the house. Glug auf. Rundown for tonight. We're going to obviously talk about the Hanover match. What, did we lose anything? It was obviously a good opponent, like Jack mentioned. We'll talk about that. Not all well behind the scenes. There's a suspension that we got to talk about, and then maybe how the locker room may be feeling. Of course, these are all rumors, as we don't know, but, you know, Waz is a more reliable source than, say, Bild, for example. We'll talk a little excuse me. Getting a little choked up, so emotional. We're going to talk a little Kanapachmina, get a little update on the U17s, 19s, and 23s. How did they do? Did one of them maybe get into the semifinals of a cup? We'll talk about that. And then we'll wrap it up with Nuremberg looking ahead to this Saturday. The game is on the 13th at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 1:30 Jack Chicagoland Time. So, yeah, let's get into it. Game against Hanover. Hanover is a team who certainly is one of the teams who are fighting for promotion. And so we knew we had a difficult job at hand. What seems to be, at least for me, Jack, it seems like down the stretch over here the last 2 months maybe, or maybe since 2024, the teams that are top half of the table, we are doing well against, and the teams around us, we are struggling against. Riddle me this. Riddle me that. How do you make sense of that?
It's been, so we haven't had a win since March 1st. So it's been over a month since we've had a win, and that was the shock win against St. Pauli, essentially,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Which we were not expecting. And then, you know, three of the following four have been draws. So with the exception of sort of like, you know, those extreme bookends of Hertha kicking our ass and then us with the surprise win against St. Pauli, you know, there's been a few draws, and the last two of those have been against, you know, teams in the top five or six or so in the table. So I feel like these results were very different from each other, though. I was pretty critical of the team last week against Karlsruhe, despite, you know, getting what is a decent result for us at this point. Thought it was a much better performance against Hanover. So, yeah, I mean, it's promising to see that we can hang in there against some of the better teams in the league, recently at least. Our form has been all over the place. It's hard to kind of, like, point to any consistency, so I don't really know what to make of it. But, yeah, sure, I guess it's encouraging. You just wish that you would have, you know, the same level of, you know, result getting against some of the bottom teams, which we haven't been able to do, whether it's like, I forget which teams we've lost to, like Magdeburg or, you know, whoever else. So,
yeah, exactly. Never a pretty sight, but I mean, at least the hard part of the season is, you know, getting some of the difficult teams. I mean, ultimately, we have to beat the teams around us. We get another point, but we only 2 points away from relegation. But let's look at the lineups in this one for both Hanover and for us at Schalke. First with Hanover in goal, yeah, Zieler with Newman, Halstenberg, and Ari Mbai in defense. Midfield, you had Muroaya, Leopold, Christensen, and Ernst with Volksamer, Trisoldi, and Nielsen up top. No Cedric Toikert in this one. He's one of the best goal scorers in the league this season. But Volksamer, who, you know, filled in for him, is not a bad player as well. So, I mean, obviously, anytime Toikert's on the play, you're going to be worried about him. But for me also, I think Trisoldi is a guy who's linked up well with Toikert this season, so a guy I had my eye on, as well as the Japanese international Muraya is a guy who I was worried about just because he has really good feet, really good instinct on the ball, and so shifty, hard to get the ball from him. So, but anybody on this team really bringing your attention to this game?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously we're going to be looking at Toikert, and he's doing well. Not the only one. Somebody else whose name I'm forgetting at the moment, former player that I'll try to remember. But anyway, Toikert doing well. That's somebody you're always going to keep an eye on. We talk about how it seems to be a law of the universe that former players score against us or involved in some way. So was pleased to see that he was not in the starting 11, but of course he did come on later, and then we'll talk about what happened at that point. Yeah, but beyond that, I mean, like, I don't know. Hanover's not a lineup. It's weird. Like, they're a very good team this season. One of the best defensive records in the second Bundesliga. Pretty strong offensively as well. I mean, I think they have a very good, you know, goal difference and expected goal difference. Like, they're playing well, and like the results are sort of mirroring the way they're playing. But at the same time, there aren't a lot of players on in their squad that I'm like that afraid of when you just kind of go up against them. Maybe that's a little bit of recency bias just in terms of this specific result and the performance and everything. But I do think that we, particularly in the first half, did a pretty good job of keeping them in check and whatnot. So, not a lot of names jumping off the screen, you know, going into it. And then I think that mostly, you know, proved to be the case in the match. Although, you know, you mentioned somebody like Trisoldi. Do think he was probably one of the more active players in their squad in terms of, you know, getting shots off and that sort of thing. Whether or not they were particularly, you know, good chances is another question. But
yeah,
certainly had activity from him.
Hanover one of the few teams to suffer a loss to Schalke this season. We beat them 3-1 in the first leg of the season. So obviously you think about that, and you're like, oh, we have a chance, but you know, we know how the season's been going. So I just looking to get a result at this point and play well. Look at our lineup: Marius Müller in goal. Obviously, back four really didn't change. You had Merkin, Kaminski, Kalash, and Brunner. Midfield four, I think it's going to call him, the diamond shape. Really, the only difference was the insertion of Odraogo in the starting 11. That was Seguin in the holding midfield role with Oyan on the left and Karaman in that 10 role, as well with Tarota and Top at the top. Thoughts on our lineup in this one and the reinsertion of Odraogo?
Yeah, so I mean, Kaminski again, which we talked about in the Karlsruhe match again, about him kind of coming back after a little bit of an exclusion from the side. Brunner back in there as well. Odraogo, obviously, he's been injured, hasn't been particularly involved, but, you know, gets the starting nod here. And then we still have that Top and Tarada partnership up top. I mean, so, like, that's clearly something that is becoming pretty settled at this point. I don't know. I think we've seen it a lot recently. So,
yeah.
And I actually do think in this match was a little bit more effective than it has been at times. I think some of our vertical play and some of our over-the-top stuff, I think both Tarada and Top, particularly in the first half, were pretty successful at winning some of those and creating some chances off the back of it. So, yeah, interesting lineup. In general, I still kind of tend to be a fan of that Merkin Oyan stack on the left, and I just wish we had kind of a stronger, more consistent right side to partner with it. Like Chironov haven't really cracked the starting 11, you know, that kind of a thing. So,
we saw a glimpse of what could be with Odraogo on the right-hand side, but we would see later in the game the insertions of Lasme, Kabadai, Idrizi, and youngster Steven van der Sloot from the Knappenschmiede. So that was a nice insertion there towards the end of the game. Get this off the screen here so we can see each other. Yeah, interesting game in this one. Obviously, a team like Hanover is a team, you kind of have to put the onus on them from the beginning. It seems like we've done well against the top-end teams when we put that pressure from the beginning. Show them, don't give them too much opportunity, kind of just take the game to them, and hopefully they'll cause some mistakes and cause some issues. I think we did a good job of that. I think early in the game, defensively, we were fairly disciplined and compact, didn't really give away too much. I talked about this on the Schalke debrief, how I thought we were very, we were playing for the defense, and we were taking our chances when they came, but we didn't risk it at the cost of the defense, and so we were playing smart in that regard. And really, Hanover couldn't do anything against us offensively. Yeah, they had the ball, but once they got the final third, they lost everything, and we kind of took over the ball. And is that kind of how you saw the game starting out in the first half?
Yeah, I thought against the ball, I would say organizationally, it was a lot more coherent than what we've seen previously. I don't know if it's just because of the shape that Hanover plays and whether or not that kind of plays into what we're trying to do at the moment, but I thought against the ball we had some, you know, a really nice kind of pentagon going at times, where, like, you know, you'd get like kind of the two and then the three up front and shift, and I think we did a good job kind of keeping them in front of us and staying structured. I thought our pressing to the limited extent that we were doing it, particularly close to like the sidelines and stuff, was pretty effective, and there was a lot of the good coordination of that. So I think they struggled to definitely to build. Started having some chances in behind a little bit, when they kind of got around the shoulder and stuff later in the first half. But for the most part, we're like pretty impotent. And then I think, you know, offensively, like I said, I think we were having some success, pretty direct, some of our over-the-top stuff. Like a number of players were able to get in behind and actually bring those balls down and control those. And there's times where that's frustrating because we're not effective with it. So I'm not really sold on that. Like, oh, we had one good performance, we're doing that. And that's like a, you know, consistent strategy that we can employ. But I think, you know, like I said, Top and Tirada in particular were effective with that in this half. I was disappointed with Caramon's play. I thought he was pretty anonymous overall, which was unfortunate, but yeah, much more pleased with the two guys up front than I have been, I think, in recent weeks.
Yeah, one of the four takeaways I had from the game was Karaman's disappointing performance, because he has been arguably our best player all season long, the very most consistent for sure, and the time we really needed him in this game to kind of at least hold the ball up and distribute that ball around, he was non-existent in that game, and that was disappointing for me. I know the scouting report that I noticed on Hanover, that they're good at playing out the back and countering quickly. I thought we did well, especially in the first half, to kind of limit those chances there. The wing backs are known for making good overlapping runs, and we kind of eliminated those chances there. They have a very good press, which usually, you know, leads to defensive turnovers, and we handled those quite well, I thought. And they're kind of been known with Trisoldi and some of these other guys, good second runners. So like, you'll have your first runners come into the box, and then it's usually the backup guys that come in and end up scoring goals. Trisoldi scored many goals that way this season. So I thought all those things that Hanover do well, Gerrards and company seem to have the game plan correct in this one. And eventually what we saw is that, you know, he trusted guys like Hassan Odrago to kind of step up and kind of do his thing. And I think 17th minute, I was impressed with the goal that ended up happening, because Odrago is not necessarily the biggest guy in the world, right? He's not a Brian Lassmas size. He's not a Karaman size. He's a little lanky guy. Doesn't seem like he's very much in a similar shape and mold to Darko Chernilov, right? But he holds the ball up really well against the defender. Kind of shrugged him off, honestly. Got away from him and then took on three defenders and put the ball past Zieler for the opening goal in the 17th, 18th minute there. It wasn't necessarily the greatest shot, but I think what led up to it was pretty impressive for me. I don't know how you saw that goal there from Odrago.
You know, it's really funny because literally a couple minutes before this happened, I was kind of noting to myself what I was seeing in Odrago's play, and I didn't think he had gotten off to a good start in that game. I think there are times when the ball comes to him and his world kind of shrinks and narrows very rapidly, and he kind of gets his head down, and it becomes a question of like, how can I beat this guy on the dribble?
Yep.
And so he's not looking for teammates to link up with, and sometimes he's blind to like a second defender coming off of a blind area and like doubling him, and there's possession that's lost that way. So I think, once again, him keeping his head up and some decision making stuff is going to help him going forward. But I think that was an issue like early in the match, and then of course, right after I said that to myself, like 2 minutes later, he makes me look like a moron. And then, like you said, great balance and strength, which is something we've seen from him repeatedly for his age. He's able to, like, you know, navigate and kind of ride some of those challenges. Throws a guy off, you know, quick step, and then does a really nice job of, as he's kind of going into the box at that kind of diagonal angle, realizing that he's going to get cut off, and he kind of takes that redirection outside. Is able to create that angle back to the far post for the shot. I actually did think it was, I mean, it's not like the flashiest finish, but it's exactly where I thought he needed to place. Like, I thought that in all of his movement towards goal, like, he set himself up well to be able to finish that. So it was a good run. Yeah. Really well done. And I mean, like, it's just, that's just the X factor play that we haven't had this season. I mean, like, you talk about the last time we were in, you know, the second division, even, like, yeah, we had Tirada in, you know, 30 plus goal scoring form, but also like those moments where we needed someone to just like do something, and it was Salazar, right? Or it was Bolter, or it was Chernilov at times, like just basically saying like, all right, screw this, like I'm making something happen, I'm going to create something out of nothing. It's sort of those unearned goals that can really like make a difference over the course of the season. We just haven't had enough of that. We have no one that can really deliver it. I guess you would say that like Caramon has maybe had a couple of those this season where he kind of did something unexpected and like, you know, had a nice finish. But yeah, you know, by and large, and you know, to the comments in the chat right now, when a 17-year-old is your best player, it's usually not a good sign. Like, we're happy that he's doing well, but yeah, anyway, so really nice finish from him. I think one of the things that was interesting is, so you know, have Hanover with these wingbacks like Maroyer and Ernst or whatever. I thought that they were committing them defensively far too forward.
Yes.
Especially early in the first half, like, and on that play for, like, you know, Odrago, for example, is you know, they'll have like two of their three center backs that are kind of like occupied or whatever. And then if they're pushing that wing back forward on Bruner, which like, why would you do that? Like Bruner's not going to kill you. Like let him have the ball, like and deny ball to other people. Don't like try to deny ball to Bruner. So then when the ball comes into Odraiuga, it's like a one-on-one. If he beats like the center back that's pulling with him, whatever, then he has all of this pocket of space like into the box where like then they're scrambling to catch up. And that happened a couple times. So, yeah, I mean, you know, normally we talk about Schalke being the team that's disorganized and lacking coherence and easily exploitable. And I thought in the first half it was actually, you know, Hanover that we were doing a nice job with overall. Once again, not a high volume of really nice chances or anything, but, you know, got the lead and definitely, I think, controlled the first half on both ends.
Yeah, Odraiuga certainly made Ari and Bai look you know, futile in that play there. And, you know, the defender is bigger than Odraiuga. And MK, I hear you, you know, Asan is a tall player, but he's a skinny guy, you know. You don't, even though we've seen him hold people off very well, you don't expect it looking at someone in his frame like, oh, he can hold people off. But he does a good job at it, especially for a 17-year-old. And as you said, you know, a 17-year-old's the best player. That's pretty scary. He's certainly the most impactful, like you said, Jack. He's got the X factor qualities to him. I mean, it's probably, you can't argue this season that Karaman's been our best player, but he's just been fortunate of being right place, right time, putting the ball away, being clinical. Odraiuga certainly is the guy who is the game changer. He's the guy who everyone's like, oh, whoa, let's get up our seats and see what he's going to do here. So, no, great goal there. My worry, which kind of came to fruition, is that we would score that goal and kind of let's play all out defense. We've seen this before where we park the bus and I say, guys, show us what you got. We'll hold it off. It's like, we don't have that kind of defense to do that. I wanted to see them continue playing as they had been up to that goal and just keep trying to go for that second goal. I know Tarota had an opportunity maybe 5 minutes later. It got a shot off and Zeller made a save. I think Zeller made a save.
Yeah, right before the 30th minute. That play pissed me off. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Like that was like a really our second best opportunity in the game at that point. And if he put that away, great. Maybe then you can kind of drop back. But after that, you know, we kind of just played in like almost a super defensive shell and say we're going to play safe. We're not going to take chances. We're just going to be safe. And I didn't like that. But at least the first half, the way it ended, 1-0. I felt comfortable at that point.
Yeah.
I knew Hanover wave would come, but I was overall happy with the first half.
Yeah, I mean, look, first 30 minutes were better than the last 15, but you're on the road against a top five, top six team. That's pretty strong. I think you have to be pretty thrilled with that first half, particularly, you know, once again, haven't had a win since the 1st of March, despite the positive result against Karlsruhe last week. I don't think it was a good performance overall. So I think you're definitely pleased with that. You know, it's funny, the play that you mentioned too, like that was Odraiuga in a very similar pocket of space that I'm talking about, like pinching inside of that wing back on that side of the pitch.
Yeah.
I actually rather rewatch it now that you bring that up, because I want to see where his eyes go when he receives the ball. Mm. But when Odraiuga gets that ball, he has Tirada and maybe Top. It could have been both of them. I forget. Very much available. If he plays a quick ball in, and he should have been able to see that, they were both open. There's a hesitation. Yep. That window of space completely closes. He plays the ball into like two defenders then. They somehow mishandle it, and it squirts through to Tirada anyway. But once again, it's Odraiuga, I think, like messes up that play. And then Tirada, like, it's not a play where he's in full sprint and kind of out of control. Like, he turns, he's got the whole thing to shoot at, and he kind of shoots it right at Zeal. Like, I mean, like, he's got corners, and like you would, even in Tirada's form this season, I think you would probably bet money that he puts that one away. And you know, credit to Zeller, like, you know, good save, but like good reaction save with a hand. But I think that one's got to be buried. So especially in hindsight, with the way that, you know, this game ultimately went, that's a chance that I think they're probably regretting, especially Seaman.
100%. And I think, you know, Zeller is certainly a Bundesliga, not a Zweite Liga, but a Bundesliga level goalkeeper. Yeah, he's a little bit aged now, but you still, if you're Tirota or any striker, you got to put that away. You got to make them earn a harder save than one right at you, you know? And so disappointed that we go 1-0 at halftime. And immediately, let's see the second half. It seemed this like we were content with letting them try to create chances and saying good luck. Nothing really. I think more chances came in that second half for Hanover. First half, they really had nothing. Nothing that really threatened Marius Müller. But second half, they started picking it up, forcing Müller to make it be more active. And it just, you felt the goal was coming, just the way we were playing. But you had that optimism, too, because the game kept ticking along and no goals. We're holding them off. We're like, okay, maybe this is our game. And you know, I don't what minute this was. I forget what minute it was that Mr. Former Shaka player Cedric Toiker came in. But he comes in, you're like, shit. Okay, I see where this is going. And then ultimately we see, I think it was a set piece from us where they counter. For whatever godly reason, we let Cedric Toiker basically take it coast to coast without taking the ball from him. He's going down the pitch. The Red Sea's open up, and he's just going right at goal. Paul Seguin is behind him. Not really. He's doing half-assed job, honestly. Gets in the way. Ball gets toe-pucked by Seguin and goes right past Mueller. Mueller tried. Wasn't enough. And you saw everyone's reaction. They're just hand on the heads. That's how my reaction was. He was like, come on, man. We're gonna give up a goal like that after playing fairly well defensively up until that point. It's 80 minutes of decent defense until that point.
Look, the Schalke players can put their hands on their heads as much as they want to, sort of in disbelief and amazement that that went in. But look, Cedric Toiker is not the most fleet of foot, shall we say.
Yeah.
Good striker. He's not, you know, a Theo Walcott from 2000 and whatever. I mean, like, he's not getting in behind and burning you that way.
Yeah.
There is no reason why he should be able to pick that ball up in his own half and carry that all the way to the edge of your box without somebody trying to put, you know what I mean?
Knock him over.
You just tactical foul, whatever. You can't let a guy like that just run up the entire pitch. Like, it was just bad. Unfortunate. Yeah. I think Seguin's going to feel terrible about, you know, the way that went, obviously the kind of the toe poke in. Highly unfortunate. That comes off of a throw-in. Towards their box. We're in like their final third, essentially, and off of a throw-in, Toiker runs like 75%
the slowest counter in the world.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's just such a bad goal to concede. So yeah, really frustrating. We played really well in this game, I think, overall. Obviously, second half, not as strong. They had a lot more possession. I think they came out of the gates immediately with their front three, if you want to call it that, not exactly in that shape, but like their front three was putting a lot more pressure on when our center backs and whoever else our backline had the ball, they weren't letting us sit on it as much. They were putting us under pressure and forcing us into like weird passes and everything. And so I haven't looked at the stats on this, but I wouldn't be surprised if our like average length of possession was a lot shorter in the second half than the first half. And I think that contributed to their time of possession overall and everything and their percentage. But I think Toiker actually came in right at the end of the first half when Volkswagen got injured.
Yeah, that's right.
But it took Toiker a while to kind of grow into the game, and then even the goal obviously kind of comes out of nothing to some extent. I do think that like guys like Trezoldi, like we said earlier, had like a higher shot volume, and Nielsen and whatnot were more involved in ultimately the chances. I don't know how many shots Toiker even had in this game, and obviously he didn't score the goal, but still funny, as we said, that even when the Schalke player doesn't score the goal, the Schalke player is involved heavily in the goal that gets scored against
direct
us.
Result.
So, of course, could have been anybody that was involved in that before Seguin does it. But, of course, it's his former Schalke player. So,
I will say this, though. After the Odaraga goal, the first goal, the Heinz von Heiden Arena, it was a loud cheer. You were like, where are we? Are we at home? I mean, we had a lot of Schalke support there at that game. And then, obviously, Cedric Toiker scores the goal, Seguin scores the goal 1-1. I see the comment in the chat about how Schalke, the manager for Hanover, said that Schalke were closer to the second than Hanover were to the first. I mean, I agree with that. That's a true statement. I think Hanover couldn't do really anything. They had started getting more and more, started growing into the game, and then eventually that misplay happened. You can't do anything about that. And even that play with Seguin, you know, yeah, he could get a red card if he does something silly, but there are other players around who could have done something, stepped up and interfered with Cedric Toiker. I mean, because no way a counter should go that slow and still make it to the other goal. It was embarrassing at that point. And, you know, unfortunately for Seguin, toe pokes it in. You were going to say something?
Sorry, kind of unrelated to this point. I was going to say Fabian Reza was the other person I was thinking
of. Oh, yeah.
I forgot the name. You have, like, Toiker and Fabian Reza, both Schalke players who, like, weren't good enough for us at one point, and now we're in the second division. And we're like, yeah, we wish we had either of those guys, you know? That's the way it goes sometimes. I understand the comments that are being made in the chat here. Multiple people basically saying, like, you know, Seguin obviously doesn't want to get a second yellow at that point. Get that. I just think there was enough players that were in contact with him over the course of that counterattack that somebody could have, you know, done something. You just can't let that happen. So, unfortunate. But, look, good performance overall. I think, once again, it's disappointing to not have a win in over a month. We're approaching a month and a half without, you know, picking up a win, which is not good enough, because at the moment there's, a single result between 17th and 12th.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's how tight it is. So, like, we could say, oh, 13th. Like, you know, we're feeling safe. We're feeling good. Like, I mean, no one can feel safe. So,
if I track Hanza and Wiesbaden all win the next game and we lose, we're in the relegation zone. It's like, and we lose. Obviously, yeah.
So, I mean, for that reason, I think it would have been really nice if we could have, once again, against either Hanover or Karlsruhe, found a way to get one of those results. So, it's tough. But, you know, at least it's not a 5-2 against Hertha.
It's true. And that XG showed that we were the better of the two teams, barely. 0.68 to 0.61 in favor of us. So, but yeah, to your point, the standings, you know, we gained a point and a position, yet we're still 1 point away from the relegation zone. It's that's quite the Liga for you. It's it's annoying. Let's see, Pascal. Hey, Pascal, I haven't seen Pascal in a while. He says, second league is so close, but 7 points, we should be good. Yeah. You have more faith than I would like to see 7 points. I remember last year we were talking about how many points we needed. We thought, you know, realistically to survive, 7 points might be it. It might be it. 2 points will not do it. Let's see. Fun side note, although the low regions of second division, Schalke has the most away support of all German teams. Yeah. I mean, they have almost, I think they're one of the, or the, they're the best second division supported team. And they're still one of the most, I think a lot of Bundesliga teams are outdrawing the Bundesliga clubs in terms of attendance this year, which is a fantastic result for this as Fight the League of Teams. Obviously, a lot of big, huge clubs in the second division. But, yeah, nonetheless. All right, so, I mean, that's the game. I agree with you. I think, ultimately, you know, 50,000 sky view, it's a good result. 1-1 against a top team. We got a game against Nuremberg, our friends, and hopefully our friends will be kind to us and let us get a win. We'll see. But we need to get a result. I think the game's at home as well. But it's an important game. And hopefully we can build on some of the positives and find a way to get a result. I just, at this point of the season, with it being so close, it's like we can't afford not to win. I mean, I guess we could draw maybe, but damn. I mean, a win would be nice just to get that cushion a little bit, especially if the other teams win around us. You know, we've got to keep pace for pace.
Yeah, Nuremberg's such a weird team too, because they're in like exactly mid table essentially. They're like 10th place. They're 5 or 6 points ahead of us on the table. They are completely upside down on both expected goal difference and actual goal difference. Like, this is a team that has found a way to just squeak out a couple wins that we haven't been able to find, but their overall play is not particular. They have a worse goal difference than we do, and they're like multiple places in the table higher than we are. Like, so I think, you know, if there's another result to take advantage of, it's got to be this one.
Yes.
This is I think this is a deceptively bad team, is what I'll say.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, you know, I don't think they're like a solid mid-table team. I think they're as good as we are.
Probably. The rest of us are just that bad.
No, I mean, like, I just think like a couple things have bounced their way, and the math has made them look better than they are. I don't think they're a demonstrably better team than Schalke's been this season. I mean, no disrespect to our friends in Nuremberg, but yeah, I think we got to go out and grab this one.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So game ends there 1-1. Some news that happened this past week. See if I can figure out how to use this here. There we go. Hey, look at me. All right. A good friend, Dominic Drexler has been suspended by Schalke. He is going to be training with the U23s until further notice. Lots of rumors about how, well, it goes back to one of the games, and it might have been the Dusseldorf match or whatever, where, you know, we played really piss poor. Gerrards is like, anybody want to criticize about what happened in this game, or you know, talk about what happened? And I guess Drexler called out Gerrards and his tactics, and that's where the kind of the split happened. And I guess Gerrards has been holding a grudge ever since. And so I know a lot of the players don't understand what's going on, because like, why are you holding this grudge? He's, you know, he's done his dues. He's been professional ever since. He apologized. But I guess, you know, he's being suspended now. And rumors are that maybe there's some strife in the locker room. Obviously, the season is going as what we plan, right? I think many people were hoping for a top half finish and maybe an outside chance of challenging for promotion. But we're barely scraping by, and we're hoping that we can just stay in the league. Are you surprised by hearing that some of this discontent in the locker room? And
I think there's been so much of it recently that you probably have to start lending a little bit of credence to it. I think my stance up to now has just been that there's so much BS that gets said about Schalke in the press constantly, true or untrue, that I just kind of like, I take the information, I don't necessarily take stock in it as factual and actually happening. But it does seem like there's been a ton of reporting on this and a lot of this kind of building. So, you know, to whatever extent this is actually a thing, yeah, it's not ideal. But, I mean, Drexler hasn't played much this season.
It hasn't played well when he wasn't.
I mean, he could be disgruntled. And, I mean, I don't particularly mind banishing somebody to the U23s who is not contributing to the first team at the moment and is also a negative presence in the locker room around the pitch. If that's the case with Drexler, then, yeah, go to the U23s. And I feel bad about that because I've been a Drexler's kind of defender at times. In terms of his value, it just hasn't really been bared out this season at all. And look, different regimes are going to have different guys, right? Like, every coach is going to have different opinions on certain players. Some guys are going to think it's, like, inexplicable that they're not playing, and the next coach comes in and they love them. So, yeah, it is what it is. I just hope whatever drama is existing over there is not...
Just get through the season. Stay in the
causing too many issues. Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, for all these players that are like, oh, I don't like the coach, like, just go out and win, please. Like, for the love of God. I know the coach has to put you in a position, like, tactically to be able to execute so you're not just getting, you know, outsmarted.
Club first.
But, like, come on. Like, you're almost done. Half of you are leaving the club anyway. Like, grind out the last few games. Try to avoid something catastrophic happening to this team. And then, you know, you can wipe your hands of it.
And that's the thing. Like, if you perform your ass off for the last 7 games or whatever it is that we have left, you know you're not going to be here next year. You're selling yourself for the next place you're going to go to. If you play like an ass, you act disgruntled, everything like that, you think that a lot of people are going to come looking for you and say, hey, come join me and disrupt our locker room. No, they're not going to do that, you know? So act like professionals, like you said. As Williams pointed out, you know, Robin Ribery necessarily didn't get along, but, you know, they found ways to, you know, dominate everybody else and win titles still. So, yeah, it's just like we'll see how this pans out because, you know, ultimately if the main job at hand right now is stave off relegation. And if they do, you imagine they would look hard at keeping Gerrards and possibly Vilmots as well. Well, no, Vilmots is gone because it'd be Ben Manga's coming in. Or Ben Manga's taking over another position. Anyway.
there's a lot of noise about the interest in Gerrards, which I think is, I mean, it's weird that that interest exists now and not in the summer when he was available.
Yeah,
because he hasn't done anything since then. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's the Schalke situation, but there does seem to be a lot of noise about that. So I am concerned that he will probably have some sort of offer on the table and may choose to dip. So we'll see. But
yeah. And everybody else in the chat saying the same thing. You know, just act like professionals. That's all we're asking. Play hard out for the team and keep us in the damn league. All right. So let's off to the Kanapish meet. Some updates there. It's the U17s. They move on to the semifinals of the Westfalen Pokal. That's the Westfalen Cup there in with a 1-0 victory against Sustadlon. So, Simon with the goal. Simon's a player who's a pretty decent player, honestly. U17 scored in the 16th minute. Around the same time, Old Drago scored. I digress. But nice to see them moving on into the next round there. Not going to share the next screens, but looking at the U19s, they did suffer a loss to Bayer Leverkusen, 3-2. We had goals from Bulut and Ndaye. And late in the games, 80 and 82nd minute, it was really, you know, Bayer Leverkusen doing a good number on them and controlling the majority of that matchup there. But unfortunately, the U19s lost.
U19s are just doing their job to keep morale high in the Leverkusen camp to see that team to that title so that Bayern doesn't win. That's all
I
care about.
Hey, I like that. And the U23s did win. I had my stuff ready, Jack. I swear I did, but it just lost it here, but there we go.
It's actually a secret strategy from management. Is they're kind of rotating through senior players to banish to the U23s. That helps improve the quality of the U23s
like
for their campaign.
You might be onto something there. And then lastly, the U23s did win 2-0. In their game, Meisel scored both goals there in the 12th and 29th minutes. So, hey, mostly good news from the Knappenschmiede. So, yeah, that wraps up Knappenschmiede news, excuse me. And last but not least, Nuremberg. We kind of talked about it. I saw the comment earlier about Flick. Is he still with the team? Yes, he's still with the team. He played last game. Is he out injured? I don't know. He maybe got injured at the end of the game. He came out in the 81st or something like that. But I expect him to play. And as we always say, there's a 50% chance he's going to score. So thoughts on Nuremberg. Obviously, we were mentioning a little bit about them, but any bold predictions or anything to add from what you said before?
Not much. Just I've been seeing that potentially Brandon Soppy could be an option. So
I forgot about him.
Yeah, for Bruner. So that'd just be something to watch kind of over the next few days. But
Free Katuchu.
See, that's why I miss Pascal in the chat. We need those kind of messages out.
He's an OG. You know? He's an OG. Yeah,
give us a little Ahmed Kutucu back in the house. noted Bayern Slayer, Ahmed Kutucu.
Yeah, no, game against Nuremberg, it should be an interesting one. Obviously, we talked about, you know, they're going to have Florian Flick. And got to be worried about him. I try to remember who they have on their team. Last game, they lost to... Why is my calendar not working now? Last game, they lost to Holstein Kiel 4-0. They had a red card in their game. Just got bamboozled by Holstein Kiel. In the lineup, Flick just came out as a substitution. Hongbo had a red card in that game, so he won't be playing in this one. Looking at their lineup, Gayamera is a guy to keep an eye on, obviously.
Flick did score against us last time we played them, right? He did. Like literally this season.
He did.
Yeah. Okay, we've had Toikert, Flick, Reza.
Didn't Benjamin Goller score in that game too? Or no, he plays for them. Benjamin Goller plays for them.
Nah, I don't think, because we won that game, and I don't think we scored three or four goals in that game. So.
Yeah, but Benjamin Goller is playing, so if there's two players, there's 100% chance a former Shakhtar player is going to score a goal.
Score. That's right.
So, oh my goodness gracious. All right, Pascal says, I promise I'll try to be back next time. No promises, you got to do it. MK says, I'm new here. I'm pretty late over here. We appreciate anytime Europeans come on and join us on the podcast. We very much appreciate it. It's late for us as it is in the United States. World feed matches, right? It's on DAZN. Is it on for us? I think it is on ESPN Plus for us, Jack. Do you know?
It is. Yeah, two in a row. What a treat. Imagine that, being able to watch your team.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right, that's good. Good for us. Any final thoughts on anything Schalke related?
No, sir. I think we're good.
Yeah, I think I'm good, too. Right on time, too. So, anyway, Jack, tell our lovely chat and our listeners where they can find you on social media.
I don't know, because it's not on the screen anymore. It used to be on the screen for me to reference. No, I'm just kidding. At JMangan, JMMANGAN on Twitter/X, whatever you want to call it.
Very good. You can follow me at R_KHARMAN. I need it too. Yeah. I need it too. More importantly, follow us at Schalke America anywhere across social media. Our podcast can be listened to anywhere you stream music or podcasts or any kind of audio. We are there. Definitely, if you haven't done so yet, make sure you go to our YouTube page and subscribe. Like this video, help the algorithm out. Definitely. And then follow us everywhere else on social media. So, next game is on Saturday, like I said, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 1:30 p.m. Chicagoland Time against our friends Nuremberg. Imagine that the choreography is going to be amazing in that game. I believe, again, we're at home in this one. So, yeah, looking forward to it. And hopefully we can come back next Monday with a victory Monday. But, well, we'll see. Let's keep the former Shaka players on goal. How about that? Baby steps, all right?
Yep.
All right. Well, for Jack, for myself, chat, thank you once again. And we'll catch you guys next week. Glück auf.